Joining us now is Van Jones, a former special advisor to the Obama White House and the founding president of Rebuild the Dream, a pioneering initiative to restore good jobs and economic opportunity. Time magazine has named him as one of the 100 most influential people in the world, and he's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Green Collar Economy, and his latest book is Rebuild the Dream. Welcome to Background Briefing, Van Jones.
Glad to be here.
And of course, progressives are recovering from a 7-point blowout victory by Governor Walker in Wisconsin. What would your advice be to those downhearted and depressed by what happened yesterday in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, I think what you see is a wake-up call for progressives. I mean, we need to be clear, the 7-point blowout, if that's what ultimately winds up being 5 points, was not us fighting full out against them fighting full out. It was we were outspent 8-1 in Wisconsin. The Koch brothers and all the big money people saw this as do or die for them, and they went 100% in. It was essentially local labor versus the Koch brothers and all their billionaire allies. The National Democrats stayed out. The National Civil Rights Group stayed out. The National Environmental Group stayed out. The National Women's Group stayed out. This was not a do-or-die fight for the national progressive movement in the way it was a do-or-die fight for the worst of the 1%. And when you understand that, then the fact that it was close at all is pretty surprising. This is not going to be how things shape up or shake out in the swing states, for instance, where we're not going to be outspent 8-1 and every force is really going to be contending 100%. So I think people should see this more as an indication of what will happen to us if we don't wake up. Too many progressives right now are sitting back saying, well, Obama's gotten in the bag and Romney's such a fuddy-duddy, and they're not paying attention to the fact that with the jobs numbers being what they are, and with the Republicans now coming together, and they come together very fast and very well, Obama is in grave danger of losing, but not mainly because of the strength of our opposition, but because of the complacency of our side.
But clearly, though, the strategy, which clearly Walker was engaged in and which the Koch brothers and other plutocrats financed, was a divide-and-conquer strategy that pitted the shrinking middle class against itself, public sector employees against private sector employees. And instead of it being about raising all boats, they've set the dynamic in play for a race to the bottom.
I think that is what they want to be able to do, and they certainly were able to do that given the incredible asymmetries that were built in. You had this massive grassroots popular explosion last year, which was able to put almost 1 million signatures in play, twice as many as needed to get the recall going. But then it was not a matchup between the internal forces in Wisconsin on one side versus the internal forces on the other. Had that been the fight, I think the fight would have been overwhelmingly won by the good guys here. This was a fight of the national conservative right-wing, worst of the 1% plutocrats, and all of their global economic power against the local labor movement. Now, their arguments had some resonance, but we know there are arguments that can combat that, and they could punch back against that that we didn't see well financed in Wisconsin. Well, and in my book, you know, I wrote the new book, Rebuild the Dream, and we have this organization, RebuildTheDream.com, which now has 600,000 online members. We're in every congressional district. I was in Milwaukee 2 weeks ago, working with folks, rallying folks, et cetera, and it was very clear to me at the time that a year ago, when all the media was in Wisconsin, you had every progressive in the world there, and now that the fight had come down to the real tough part and the media wasn't there in such large numbers, you just didn't have that national progressive focus and attention, and yet now you have national progressive mourning. I just think it's a wake-up call. We're going to have to these guys are for real. This big money factor is real. Citizens United is real. The Republicans coming together, when it's time to fight and standing up, is something we can expect in the swing states. and we've got to stop this complacency. Oh, I'm not going to volunteer this year. I'm not going to give money this year. I'm so heartbroken about Obama. I'm not comparing Obama anymore to the Almighty. I'm comparing Obama to the alternative. And the alternative is the Tea Party runs America, and we can't let that happen.
Again, I'm speaking with Van Jones, a former special advisor to the Obama White House and the founding president of Rebuild the Dream, a pioneering initiative to restore good jobs and economic opportunity. His latest book is Rebuild the Dream. There is, though, a fundamental asymmetry here in terms of strategy. The Republicans have been very successful in conjunction with the plutocrats, in conjunction with ALEC, at hatching this model legislation, which they have proliferated around the country. They've started at the state level, somewhat under the radar, captured a lot of states. Walker is just one example of many, and they're operating with some radical social engineering on a number of fronts, not just breaking public employees' unions, but privatizing education, rolling back women's rights, etc. This is what I find breathtaking, is the aggressiveness of this social engineering that's going on. And the other side, you know, seems to me to be somewhat like somebody that's just been mugged at the ATM.
Well, better that we get hit upside the head right now and shake it off and get into this fight than to keep sleepwalking the way that we've been doing, and then wake up in November with this kind of outcome in the swing states. I think that we've been through a rough ride the past several years, economically, politically. I think progressives in particular have felt disoriented, demoralized, frustrated with the White House. And I think it's been harder for us to rally. I think that when you look at these job numbers, which are very discouraging, when you look at this political outcome, we have two choices, you know, sit down and cry and hope it somehow gets better, or stand up and fight harder. And I think initially people are going to be a little bit stunned, a little bit, you know, confused. But, you know, we do have the Netroots Nation conference coming up. I think this weekend, I think progressives will have a little bit of a pity party, but then start to rally. The Campaign for America's Future is having the Take Back the American Dream conference two weeks after that. And, you know, we go into the summer. I just think that a lot of people are sitting around right now saying, well, you know, Obama's got this in the bag, or you know, how liberals are, we go from denial to despair and forget the fight in the middle. It's either, oh, Obama's got it, I'm not worried about it, or, oh, the Koch brothers have too much money, we can't win. But somewhere in between those two extremes is a middle ground that says if we fight, we can win. We don't have the same financial capital, but we have a lot of social capital. Every single human being listening to this radio station needs to see themselves as a personal headquarters in the fight back. And the social networks they have through Facebook and or maybe Twitter or email or just in their own cell phones, we've got to start ringing the alarm and telling people, listen, this is for real. We could, a year from now, the Tea Party could be governing America 4 years after Obama's historic victory. And if we want that, if you want to sign up for that, if you want to live in that world for 4 years, let's just keep doing exactly what we're doing. But if we don't want the Tea Party, and that Paul Ryan budget, decimating schools and health and environment from coast to coast, you know, we've got to start to do the things now that we did 4 years ago and not do less, do more, because it turns out that just having a few people in office and not having a strong enough movement still leaves us somewhat frustrated. But I'll tell you this, whatever you don't like about what you've seen from the Obama administration, you will hate and despise 100 times worse once we let the Tea Party take over, if we're foolish enough to do so.
Well, clearly there's an asymmetry in terms of enthusiasm on the right and a kind of burning, often irrational, hatred of President Obama that seems to motivate a lot of people on the right. And there's a lot of sort of despair, despondency, and disappointment on the left. But, you know, I've woken up and found that my president was Ronald Reagan and later George W. Bush. And the nightmare scenario is waking up and finding that Mitt Romney is your president. And in large part, if you just look at the recent record, the progressives and liberals in this country tend to have suicidal tendencies. In 1968, they abandoned Humphrey for McCarthy and ended up with Nixon in 1980. In the primary, they abandoned Jimmy Carter for Teddy Kennedy. And in the general, they abandoned Jimmy Carter for Republican Anderson. And then in 2000, 97,000 people voted for Ralph Nader in Florida, and Bush won by 537 votes. And the same dynamic could be in play here because of this asymmetry in this idea that somehow the system is corrupt, it's flooded by money, therefore there's nothing we can do. They're all a plague on both their houses. I keep hearing that all the time, particularly from the Occupy movement.
Well, I just think that that is a prescription for disaster. This is the wrong time in America to give up on our ideals. And here's what's so strange to me. You go to any of the progressives, the liberals, look at the pictures on their wall. Look at their screensavers. It's Dr. King, it's Nelson Mandela, it's Gandhi, it's all these people. We voted one time in November 2008 for Obama. Nobody put any dogs on us. No fire hoses. Nobody went to jail. The other side just outmobilized us in one election. They didn't take the Senate or the White House. They took the House. We still have the Senate and the White House. And we just quit. We just crumpled. And, this is the kind of thing that I think makes me very, very frustrated, because the stakes are too high for us to be this precious. You don't just vote one time for change, expect whoever you voted for to do everything that you wanted, and then when you get disappointed, quit. If anybody's got any reason to be disappointed in the Obama White House, I might qualify. So it's not about a referendum on the president or not. It's a question of what future do you want to vote for? Would you rather have Obama to complain about next year and try to push him to do better, or would you rather have the Tea Party? And you can say Mitt Romney all you want to. This will be a Tea Party presidency. He's running to the right of George W. Bush, and he will govern to the right of George W. Bush. And if he doesn't, there'll be hell to pay, because you do have this extreme ideological agenda. What I would point out is, if we had done everything that we could have done in Wisconsin and still lost, people would have a right to be despairing. But most of the people who are now complaining, crying, and mourning about what happened in Wisconsin didn't do anything to win in Wisconsin, didn't go to Wisconsin, didn't send a check, didn't call their relatives in Wisconsin. And so, that is where I think that we've got to shake our heads awake, look at the stakes, and realize, hey, listen, none of the people who voted for Obama in 2008 have left the country. 2010 wasn't a disaster because people changed sides. It was just that we lost by the measure of our discouragement. The same number of right-wingers came out in 2008 versus 2010. It's just fewer of us came out. And so 2012 is a chance for just everybody do what we did last time, and we'll beat them, despite all their money. They are trying to psych us out, intimidate us, and frustrate us so that we'll just defeat ourselves, and I think that would be quite foolish.
Again, I'm speaking with Van Jones, a former special advisor to the Obama White House and founding president of Rebuild the Dream, a pioneering initiative to restore good jobs and economic opportunity. He's the author of Rebuild the Dream, a timely and necessary book. It's a book that explains both the inside and outside game, since Van Jones is unique in having been inside the White House and also been a community organizer. And this could not be happening at a better time in terms of the need to lift the spirits of progressives and recognize that they're in a really serious fight and they don't have the luxury of self-righteousness anymore. I'm astounded by these two Washington insiders, Norman Ornstein and Thomas Mann, have written a book basically blaming the Republicans for the problems in Washington. They can't get arrested because of the press's convention of you have to have both sides and you can't tell the truth. They're arguing now that the Democratic Party is actually the conservative party and the Republican Party is the radical party. And one of the things that they point out, Van, which I think is extremely instructive, is that, and this gets to my question to you, what's the psychological component here? Because in 2000, Bush v. Gore, the Supreme Court awarded the presidency to George W. Bush, and the Democrats obediently swallowed their indignation and, for the good of the nation, allowed Bush to govern. Conversely, when Obama won a sweeping victory, capturing the White House, the Senate, and the House, the Republicans essentially declared war on him, refused to even negotiate with him, and they're dedicated to bringing him down. The asymmetry is just breathtaking.
Well, it is, and you know, I there's a psychological dimension here that is hard to understand. Listen, look at what the Republicans, you talk about what the Republicans are willing to do to this president. It's much worse than that. Look at what they're willing to do to the country. Okay, imagine if you had a beach and a lifeguard and a tsunami came and you had people drowning and they were struggling. And imagine you had a lifeguard, maybe not the best lifeguard in the world, but at least an honest one who's trying to save lives. Imagine you have somebody who's an onlooker who says, you know what, the more people who drown out here, the more likely it is they're going to fire this lifeguard and I can get the lifeguard's job. That's the GOP. That's the Republican Party. They're watching this president, the lifeguard, trying to help people drowning in this new new economic catastrophe. Maybe not the best lifeguard ever, but at least trying. And they're not throwing a lifeline to Americans. They're throwing anvils. They're throwing bowling balls. They're throwing bricks. They're cutting the lifeline that the president's trying to throw. They won't even pass now their own economic program. The president has said, fine, I've got a to-do list for you that is mostly your ideas. How about a tax break for small businesses? They won't even pass their own program because they want not the president to fail. They first have to have the American people suffer and have the American economy fail in order to have the president fail so they can get the lifeguard's job. They're drowning people so they can get the lifeguard's job. That's where we are. And the fact that we are not standing up and fighting back, that people would rather sit down and feel depressed and sorry for themselves or just, you know, critique Obama to death. Nobody's critiqued him harder than I have. Read my book. But we have to stand up now for our kids. We've got to stand up now for our grandparents who fought for stuff that these guys want to take away and then smash down. They want to smash down our unions. They want to smash down public education. They want to smash down every American institution our parents and our grandparents fought for and built up, sometimes went to jail and died for. They want to take it all away, and we're sitting here withholding our support, kind of sitting on our hands in disgust and dismay, as opposed to standing up and fighting back. And I think that today has to mark the turning point where people realize this strategy of everybody being, you know, too depressed to save their own kids and too depressed to save the earth from, you know, the ecological catastrophe, too depressed, too precious to fight, that has to come to an end. It has to come to an end today, and we've got to start saying, just like we did back, I remember 2004, when it was Kerry versus George W. Bush, people didn't care who John Kerry was. They wanted to stop George Bush. And we've got to have that attitude. It doesn't matter what you think about Obama. Do you want the Tea Party to govern America? If you want the Tea Party to govern America, keep sitting on your hands and keep depressing all your friends and saying how you're not going to do anything because you're mad at Obama. That's the best way to make sure the Tea Party governs. If you don't want the Tea Party to govern America, I don't care if you support the campaign itself. I'm not a part of the campaign. But you got to do something to build the capacity to fight back in these swing states and give our kids a fighting chance.
Well, Van Jones, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. And anybody who wants to be engaged in what we're doing, RebuildTheDream.com is the name of the organization, 600,000 members strong already, and looking for more people who want to fight back and keep the Tea Party from taking over our country.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Van Jones, a former special advisor to the Obama White House and the founding president of Rebuild the Dream, a pioneering initiative to restore good jobs and economic opportunity. He also founded the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, Color for Change, and Green for All. His latest book, Rebuild the Dream. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Christina Trochanich. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.
fire.